You are now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast. Here are your hosts, Al Powder and Maddie D.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back in Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 244. As always, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Make sure to check out everything that's going on at StudentUnionSports.com right now, from the daily blogs, all the podcasts, everything else in between. If you are someone that wants to get in the sports industry, whether it's writing, whether it's marketing, whether it's editing, video production, whatever it is, make sure to hit up Liam Smith and all the guys on all social media platforms for Student Union Sports. And if you need a podcast for your ride home, or you just want a podcast while you're cooking or you're on a walk, whatever it is, we got a couple options. The Is It Saturday Yet podcast, giving you the absolute best in college football week in and week out. You have the Chasers podcast that will try to win you some money for all of your gambling needs. You have the Yellow Card podcast, which if you like soccer and you like all the leagues soccer-wise, they got the pod for you with Yellow Card. And obviously, us here at Legends Lingo to give you all of your Boston sports needs and wants. Al DeHagan here. Tom Powder Cadden is back for another week. Powder's rocking a new haircut.
Yep. Need to get trimmed up. Was really long. Looked like a grizzly man. So, need to get cleaned up a little bit.
You look good, though.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Maddie's back. Hi, Maddie.
Oh, what up, Al?
Would you like to tell the audience last week why you decided to skip the show?
I had some work engagements that I had to be at last week. And then it's a miracle that I'm here this week, Al. So I just want to, before we jump into things, I got to say, because I got us a new listener today. So I got to say hello to him now. I told him I would.
Okay, go ahead.
I was at the hospital this morning. The nurse that was taking care of me, I told him all about us. Nurse Cash, thank you again for your services this morning.
Hey, shout out to Nurse Cash, the newest listener of the Legends Lingo Podcast. So thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate you. All right, we have a lot to get into. So I'm guessing because of Batty's sweatshirt, I'm guessing we got to talk about the Patriots first, right?
Yep.
So the Patriots, once again.
Once, Al. Let's be happy.
Once again, Patriots get their doors blown open. Bills come into Foxborough and beat them. Wait a minute. Wait a second. The Patriots actually upset the Bills. Let's go.
Toddler dance. Toddler dance. We're all doing the toddler dance.
Let's go.
Yeah.
We're all doing the toddler dance. The unthinkable happened. A miracle happened at Gillette Stadium. The New England Patriots upset the Buffalo Bills at home 29-25. And before I start, I'm going to give a shout-out. Shout-out to our friend and several-time guest, Zach Jezziero, because
he loses again.
The poor kid was so upset. And I love Zach. And full disclaimer, I love Zach. He's literally like a little brother to me. He really is. Like, we love the kid. He was so mad. In the Red Sox group chat that I have with myself in, and Kevin Verdios has been on the program before as well. And he's just like, I don't want to talk to anybody, like, screw you guys. And I was like, all right, Zach, like, let's chill out here, bud. I didn't even say a word. I was just happy we won. But no, it was, where do we begin? I said this on Monday. I'm just going to enjoy this. This is a nice win. And you know what? It was nice from the beginning to the end of the game. The Patriots got a lead. The Patriots forced a turnover right away. The Patriots were winning for most of the game until they almost coughed it up.
Mm-hmm.
The 7:30 mark to 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter. Bills come back. They get up 25-22. So the Bills, the Patriots are up like 22-10 with about 8 minutes left. Bills go down, score quickly, take the extra point. Patriots go on offense. Mac Jones hits Kendrick Bourne. Bourne fumbles. Bills get the ball at about the Patriots, like, I'm going to say right around like 25 or 30, right around there. Bills go in and score again, and we're thinking, here we go again. You know, we did it again, found a way to lose. But then good things start to happen, guys. Ramondre Stevenson catches a screen pass, goes for about 30 yards, and a penalty for the Bills. Gets them in the field goal range. Third down, Mac Jones is actually hitting Hunter Henry to actually convert first downs. And on second and goal, The Jasicki gritty makes its debut in Foxborough. Matt Jones hits Mike Jasicki in the back of the end zone, 12 seconds left in the fourth quarter, give the Patriots their second win of the season. By the way, I don't know if you guys know this.
Well, we won. One more time. One more time.
I don't know if you guys remember this, but when Jasicki played for the Dolphins, and I only remember this because I was at this game, unfortunately, when the Patriots lost the bye in 2019 and they moved down to the 3 seed before they had to play Tennessee, Mike Jasicki scored a touchdown in the same exact spot, same exact end zone, or Miami in their week 18, or at that time it was week 17 win against the Patriots.
Yeah.
So it's the same spot. It was like deja vu, but like 4 years later. It was insane. But anyways, a lot of good things in this game, right? I think the scheme was excellent for the Patriots to start, especially offensively. Bill O'Brien, tip your cap to him. He had a really good game calling the offense, called some really good plays. Guys, the line actually blocked for Matt Jones. He only had one sack that he took. One. That's it. Just one. One sack. And this is kind of my opening take, and then I'll promise I'll get to you guys because I know you guys want to talk about the game too. My opening take on this game, keep Mike Onwenu at right tackle. Because if you can do the rest of the year with Trent Brown, and this is going from left tackle to right tackle, so, you know, in order. Trent Brown, Cole Strange, David Andrews, Sidy Sow, and Mike Onwenu, that's a solid offensive line. And you saw it in the Bills game. You saw that the Patriots were able to run up the middle against the Bills. Now, granted, the Bills have the worst defense in the league when it comes to rushes up the middle, but you still found a way to take advantage of that. And I think against other teams that have not so great defenses, you could take advantage of that. So that's my opening take. Really good win and keep that offensive line the same. Powder, I'll go to you. Just opening take on the game and anything you saw. And then Maddie will get your opening take as well. Go ahead, Powder.
Yeah, I was listening to it on the radio. Rachel and I went out for a drive to do a couple errands. And like you guys, when I heard that they fumbled it, I was like, great. They're going to find a way to lose this game. I was not happy. But then, like you said, just hearing them, and actually, you probably didn't. I don't know if you guys heard Zolak on the radio. He was going insane on the ref about the second blocking illegal man upfield or whatever that penalty was that they're about to call on the Patriots. Oh my God, I was dying laughing. Called the ref a clown probably, I think, 3 times within the span of 5 seconds. But then when they took the penalty away, it's like, good. So it was a great win. It's good to see the Patriots find a way to win. Tightly contested game. Like probably most people know, is only Mac Jones' second ever fourth quarter game-winning drive, and it's definitely a statement game for Mac Jones. And I know last week I was kind of calling for his job, and you know what? He proved me wrong and had a great game to find a way to win. So very happy to see the Patriots win.
All right, Maddie, opening take.
All right, opening take is we paid the wrong receiver. That's what I learned in this game. Once again, Kendrick Bourne stepping up to the occasion. You know, the trade deadline's looming, so I'm scared we might lose him. But overall in this game, it's not really much you can complain, really. This is what you expect to see from a third-year quarterback who is supposed to be your future, your franchise and everything. This is what you're supposed to see out of him, not the crap we've seen the last month from him. This. If they continue to look like this on offense, well, good luck to some defenses. Some defenses are better than others, obviously, but we can stun the Bills. Why can't we go stun Miami? You know, why can't we late in the season? Why can't we beat Kansas City on prime time? Why can't we do that? But good win. I'm happy with it. You know, offense looked good. Defense, bad day at the offense for everybody in the secondary on Sunday. But yeah, everyone gets one turd game a year. This was the defense's turd game, not the 34-0 game. This was the turd game because the offense didn't help the defense at all in that game. But one turd game and they got it out of the way.
Now, would you say, now to kind of go back on that point real quick, would you say it was a turd game, or would you just say that it was the defense not being able to finish making tackles And why I'm asking is because, obviously, look at a couple of the highlights in the game, right? Jabril Peppers picks off Josh Allen's first throw of the game. That big fourth and two when the Patriots were up 16-10. I think it was either Peppers or someone else knocking the ball out of the Bills receiver's hands to force a turnover on downs. And the play before that with Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen hits Stephon Diggs for like a 7-8 yard gain. And then Jack Jones comes in and finishes that tackle, which was a big play and an underrated play at that time. So I'm not disagreeing with the point. I'm just trying to see if maybe there's a different way that we can interpret that.
Maybe it's certain players get one turd game instead of, that's fair. I mean, there were some guys who were missing tackles left and right on a Sunday. There were some guys who just flat out did not look good on Sunday. Like Kyle Duggar, what was that? In a contract year, what was that, basically? Miles Bryant, we expect you to look that bad. So he lived up to expectation. But, yeah, it's just we know they're going to be working on defense this week is how to tackle. And also pray to God that, you know, somebody is able to meet up with Sonic the Hedgehog to learn how to run as fast as Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, you're going to need that, especially no Christian Gonzalez, obviously, in this matchup, which we had in the last matchup, which did a great job against Tyreek Hill, but now you got to worry about J.C. Jackson. We'll worry about that in the Dolphins preview. But anyways, I mean, again, with the offense looking the way it did, it actually looked like a competent NFL offense. You're actually able to run the ball a little bit, set up the play action. And I'm not saying he's this high-level quarterback, but look at what Mac Jones can give you when you give him some time to throw the ball. It actually allowed him to process the field. Again, not saying he's a top-five quarterback, not saying he's a top NFL quarterback, but if you give him time, he can be a top half of the league quarterback. He can be top half of the league if you give him the time. But if you don't, you get the results that you got from weeks 1 through 6. So, and still, even during week 7, he still was the second fastest quarterback as far as getting the ball out of his hand. He caught the ball out of his hand, averaged a little over 2 seconds. So 1, 2, boom, ball's out. But anyways, the Bills, man, they're just, nobody circles the wagon like the Buffalo Bills, huh?
That organization's cursed. They're cursed.
Oh, my gosh. They were known to have slow starts. And granted, like, Ed Oliver was out, which, you know, hurt their defensive line. You know, Josh Allen has a lot more turnovers than I thought. Like, he's one of the most, like, turnover-heavy quarterbacks in the NFL. He makes a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, since his rookie year in 2018, I think, off the top of my head, he leads the league in turnovers or interceptions, one or the other. But it's like when you launch the ball 60, 70 yards downfield and half the time it's Stephon Diggs three double team, it's like you can't get it every time.
No, you can't.
And the Bills in general have come crashing back down to earth since that dominant 2021 season, but
they have.
And it's like Josh Allen especially has come spiraling back down to earth very fast. I used to say he was arguably the best quarterback in the league. I can't say that now. I can think of three quarterbacks who are better than him right now, right off the top of my head.
I think about this just real quick, just from an NFL perspective. I think about the AFC just I think about the AFC in general. Who's really going to give a Chiefs a run for their money? The Bengals have been horrible this year. The Bills have taken a huge step back. The Ravens, I know people will say the Ravens, but guess what? The Ravens are frauds until they do something in the postseason. That's like my hot take with the NFL, my consistent take. The Ravens need to actually do something before we can consider them an actual threat. And then you take a look around the rest of the NFL. You know, I'm looking at the AFC South, maybe like Jacksonville, no. I mean, they could compete, but not at a high level. And then you look at the East, maybe Miami this year, maybe. But again, who's really going to compete in Kansas City? Nobody.
I don't even think Miami could, just because if you look to see who Miami's lost to versus who they've beaten this year, it's like there's a reason why they're now, what, 5-2? There's a reason why they're 5-2. The two teams they've lost to, Buffalo and Philly.
Look, yeah, two good teams.
They beat us. They beat Carolina. And they beat other like wimpy, the Chargers. I think like the also bad this year. The Jets, like they've beaten bad teams and lost to good teams this year.
They have, and that I think is going to be a problem. And you know what? I'm not trying to say the Patriots are all the way back, but what I am going to say is when you have the momentum that you have beating a team that a lot of people were expecting to potentially make a run of the Super Bowl this year. Like, let's call it like it is. A lot of people were thinking the Bills were gonna take that step to ultimately be in title contention. You just beat them at home. Now, granted, the Bills make a lot of mistakes, of course. But now you got some confidence. I know Miami's a house of horrors, but guess what? They can force some turnovers. If the offense can actually play like it did against Buffalo, that can open some things up. And again, I don't know if they're going to win. I don't think they're going to win. But I think it's going to be now more competitive than people think, or at least you hope. You hope it's more competitive. Any final thoughts on the Bills before we get into the Dolphins and then just a couple other Patriots tidbits?
That New Year's Eve game is going to be fun with them because they're going to want revenge. And they're probably going to be right in the thick of things, knowing them. So that's probably going to be – Patriots have a chance to probably play spoilers on the New Year's Eve matchup that they have with the Bills this year.
Yeah, and that game's in Buffalo too. That's going to be just like last year. Just like last year. Potter, any final thoughts on the Patriots before we – or the Patriots-Bills game before we get into the Miami matchup?
I got nothing. Just good win.
Okay. All right. Well, enough of celebrating that. Let's get back into reality. So the Patriots are heading to Miami to take on the Dolphins. We all know it's a house of horror usually for the Patriots. These two teams met back in week 2 of the regular season in New England. The Dolphins coming away victorious 24-17. If anybody forgets, that's the game that Cole Strange was half a yard away from extending the drive. The Patriots were in Dolphins territory. Christian Gonzalez had a really nice interception on Tyreek Hill, where he jumped up and picked off a 2-attacker by a low pass. Patriots in that game shot themselves in the foot, getting behind. I think it was at least 10-0, 13-0, then they end up losing 24-17. So again, it's just one of those classic Patriots games. Kind of taking a look at this, I mean, we know what the Patriots are getting themselves into, right? This is a Miami team that likes to run a lot of RPOs. They're a team that basically goes off their top two receivers in Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. And you know what? Tua Tagovailoa, he knows how to beat the Patriots. I mean, let's just call it spade a spade. He knows how to beat this team, and he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Now, granted, he'll maybe throw like one or two interceptions, like maybe one interception every time he plays the Patriots. But for the most part, I mean, this matchup, it's a tough matchup. It really is. I don't see the Patriots winning this game. I see them potentially keeping it close until the end, and then Miami kind of blows it open with like a late touchdown or something like that. But if you want to win this game, you got to get pressure on the quarterback. And tell me if you agree with this, guys. The pass rush for the Patriots has gone significantly downhill since Matt Judon's gotten injured.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Not even a question, right? And now you have to think, the only way that you're going to apply pressure is if you get guys like Christian Barmore, who has, credit to Christian Barmore, when he's been on the field, he's been an absolute beast the last 2 weeks. So you're going to have Barmore have a big game, and you're going to have to make sure that Tua is not comfortable in the pocket, because if he's comfortable, then he'll find people down the field all day long. And Miami is a big chunk team. They like to get big chunks of yardage on big plays. They're a big play type of team. Similar to the Eagles, they like to have a lot of big plays. So the Patriots are going to play probably a lot of zone. They're probably going to keep everything in front of them. They're probably going to give Miami the intermediate amount of yards, which, you know, if you use the bend, don't break, and you hold them the field goals, then maybe you got a chance. But I want to hear from you guys now, though. I want to hear, is there anything in particular you're looking for in this Miami game before we make our predictions? Maddie, I'll let you start.
I think one thing to keep an eye on is the health of Jaylen Waddle. He's been dealing with some health problems this year. He's been hurt. He's the other half of this great arsenal air attack that the Dolphins have this year. Obviously, if he can't go, he can't go. That's a big plus for the Patriots' defense. The Dolphins don't have Devin or Devon Achane either. He's on IR. You got to stop Mostert. I know, you know, everyone likes to clown on him because he gets hurt easily, but when he's healthy, he's pretty damn good. Defensive side of the ball, we might see Jalen Ramsey. We might, if he's active for this game, we might be seeing him. I don't know. I don't think he played on Sunday night against the Eagles. Did he?
I don't think so.
I don't think he did. So this potentially might be his first game of the year if he didn't play Sunday, which I'm pretty sure he didn't. So there's a whole lot to be looking out for here for the Patriots. I want to see momentum. What can you do now? You just coming off of a big win against the Bills, game you shouldn't have won. You got all the momentum in the world right now going into Miami, a place where everything goes wrong. Every little thing goes wrong in that game, from the actual game itself to probably things in the hotel and everything. Let's see. Can Mac do it again, basically? I'd like to see it. I'm not going to be instantly being like, oh, it's just the one-time knockoff thing about Mac. Now that I see what he's capable of doing, like when he actually has time to actually sit in the pocket and throw the ball. Let's see. One thing that scares me is that Adrian Clem, the offensive line coach, is non-committal to keeping Mike Onwenu on at right tackle. Why? Why don't we just look what happened when he just put him there? Sidy Sow also had a great game on Sunday against Buffalo. Let's see what he can do as well. It seems like they found the right lineup for the offensive line. Why do you want to change it now? But yeah, there's a lot of stuff to look out for. I think it's going to be an exciting game, though. I think this game is going to be a fun one to watch. Potential offensive marathon if things can go right for both teams offensively, which we know for Miami, they probably will. It's for New England, really.
Probably. We'll see. Potter, anything you're looking forward to?
Just seeing if the defense can kind of, obviously, it's more banged up than it was in week two, and week two, we gave them a game, but I think this game is really prove a game to see if you can keep the momentum going, see if you can build on the Bills game and all the things you did right, but it's just going to be tough. Miami is coming off, is it two straight losses? So I think Miami's going to be looking to really find a way to win this game and win it big. So, oh no, they won against the Panthers, but I just think it's going to be a tough game for the Patriots. I think their just defense being banged up is not a good situation for this game.
Okay. All right, let's give predictions. Who wants to throw out their prediction first?
I'll go first. Realistically, I know I just said this has a chance to be an offensive marathon. Yeah, I think realistically about the Patriots and their track record in Miami, you know, wishful thinking that this could actually be a fun game. I got 30-13 Miami in this one.
All right.
I'll go 28-17 Miami.
Okay. I got 27-14 Miami. I just think that this Patriots team, yeah, they might score a couple touchdowns, but they don't have the firepower to keep up with Miami's offense. But if the Patriots get the ball first and they score, then that might change things a little bit. That's the whole thing for the Patriots. I saw it might have been Phil Perry or Mark Daniel or one of the beat writers that wrote like a 5-point plan for the Patriots. And one of them was take the ball first if you can.
Yeah.
Honestly, take the ball first. Because if you could take the ball first and you go down the field, then you might as well go down the field, score, put the pressure on Miami, and then make them play from behind.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's just me. A couple other Patriots tidbits real quick. Marcus Jones out for the season. Kind of stinks, but I think we kind of saw that coming, right?
Yeah, saw that coming. He'll be back next year. Special teams will be better next year.
Okay. Potter, any quick hitters with that?
Nah, just hopefully it'll be better. Back next year and ready to go.
Okay. Kendrick Bourne in the latest ESPN wide receiver rankings was ranked number 11th in the NFL. Sounds like a guy you should probably extend and keep, right?
They'll probably end up trading him.
Probably.
No, they'll let him walk for nothing. That's the Belichick way these days. The good guys, let's get rid of him, but the bad guys, let's bring him in.
Speaking of one of those, he wasn't a bad guy, but he was a guy that wasn't doing anything and they had to either elevate him or get rid of him. Trey Flowers waived today. Kind of like a, okay.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing, the big one that happened today, Patriots waiving quarterback Malik Cunningham after elevating him in week six against the Raiders because there were a lot of injuries, granted. But I think basically what this is going to be is they waive him. They'll bring him back in the practice squad because they waived him once and brought him back once again. I think the same thing's going to happen. I think a practice squad position is going to open up, and then they're going to bring him back. I mean, I'm not going to read anything into it until he signs with another team, but I see him coming back in the practice squad. You guys?
Yeah, I mean, they had four quarterbacks on the roster. Like, something was going to happen eventually. It sucks it was Cunningham, but it just shows that they like Greer more than Cunningham to be the permanent, you know, third stringer, or, you know, they're going to play freaking musical chairs every week with who's going to back up Mac Jones. So,
do you think that Cunningham's gone for good?
He'll be back on the practice squad if no one picks him up.
Okay.
The Belichick way.
Do you think somebody picks him up?
I don't think anyone would. I can't think of anyone who needs a quarterback right now.
Okay. Let's talk about this big thing for a minute or two. So apparently before the Bills game, there was a report that came out from Ian Rappaport that in the offseason, Bill Belichick quietly signed a, quote, lucrative contract extension. There have been some rumors out there. Some people have said it's like a three-year contract extension. Others have just said that it's a very hefty contract extension. Here's my take on it. If you're going to give Bill Belichick the extension, that's fine. Give it to him. Six-time Super Bowl champion coach. As a head coach, he won a couple as an assistant with the Giants. Great, good, wonderful, great. But you better do something now. Because guess what? You don't do something now where you have the possibility of getting a high draft pick, and you have all this money to spend in free agency next year. If you can't do it, then take away the GM power.
Yeah.
Take it away from yourself and say, you know what? I'm just going to focus on coaching. Let me go get Shula's record. You shout out to Bill. He got his 300th career regular season win. So shout out to Bill for that. That's awesome. But if you're going to do something with this now, you better do something. You got to get out of your way. You got to stay out of your lane. Adapt to the NFL the way it is. Go get some playmakers on offense. And I think the very simple thing, couple simple things you can do, you can extend Kendrick Bourne. Doesn't have to be a long extension. Give him like a 2-year extension, you know, for around like, I don't know, like $6 or $7 million a year. I think that's reasonable for him. You play the young kid. So you play Pop Douglas. You play Kayshon Booty. Say bye-bye to Devontae Parker. I would trade Devontae Parker at the deadline. Just a little FYI. I would trade Devontae Parker. You don't need him here. And Juju, same thing. If someone could take Juju's contract, even if you have to pay a majority of the contract, you do it. I saw a trade rumor today. Then we'll get back to Belichick real quick. I saw a trade rumor with the Tennessee Titans. Patriots trade Juju Smith-Schuster and a 7th-round pick and pay 75% of the contract. And in return, you get DeAndre Hopkins. Just saying, with all the money you're going to have next year, with all the money you're going to have next year, Maddie, you might as well go get a number one receiver.
What's holding you back here now, Bill? Like, you can't use money next offseason. You can't. I think, you know, maybe I can't think of anyone who's really tradable at the moment to go get a number one wide receiver other than maybe Hopkins. But like, do you also want to wait out to see what Mike Evans does? Like, do you want to wait for that too? Just saying, he's got all his money. He got the trade deadline. Do something, Bill. This is the time to do something, and don't do something stupid either.
Well, yeah. He hope he doesn't do something stupid.
Well, here's the thing. If I see that we trade for some like random freaking linebacker or something like that, I'm going to be like, what the hell are we doing?
Look, I don't expect the Patriots to make any moves at the deadline. I really don't. I don't expect them to make a splash. I really don't expect them to do anything. I think they're going to stay pat, and they're just going to compete with what they have because besides the 2021 spending offseason, Maddie, which you had to spend, when have you seen the Patriots make really, really big moves at the deadline?
I mean, at the time, it didn't seem like a big move, but then it turned into one almost immediately when they got to keep Talib.
Did they get him at the deadline, though?
Yeah, they traded for him.
Okay, but was that at the trade deadline?
Close to it. I think it was like a week off of it, but still.
Was it? Okay. So
it was relatively close to the deadline. Like, I don't know if it wasn't the day of, but like it was right around there. That was a big move at the time. Little did we know what that was going to turn into. And then trying to think, I don't think anyone else really was Van Noy. Did we trade for him or was that an offseason acquisition?
That was an offseason acquisition. Or actually, no, sorry. The first time, I think it was a trade, but it was
like, the first time when we got him.
Yeah, it was like a week three trade or something like that.
Yeah, it was something like that. But
anyways, so regardless.
Yeah, deadline, I can't think of really, or just in general, the last time, like, Patriots have, like, gone out and gone to go get, like, someone, like, big or whatever.
Right.
I think it'd be hilarious. Just say it. It'd be hilarious if they went and traded for like Brandon Cooks or something like that. That'd be hilarious.
I mean, listen, he was a former Patriot. Wouldn't
he's a former Patriot. It's like, he's like the sisterhood of the traveling pants. He just keeps going around the league.
There you go. But to go back to Belichick's contract extension, another thing, why are we hearing about this in week 7? Why didn't we hear about this just in the offseason? So that way...
Weird time for this to get leaked out, basically.
Very weird. Because... The only logical reason that I'd come up with is the noise about, you know, the Patriots' slow start, will Belichick get fired, all this stuff. I think someone leaked that, so it basically shut everybody up and say, this is a non-story. He's going to be here for the next couple of years, and you people need to get over it. Now, do I think it's the right move to keep him as the head coach? Maybe. But as the GM? No. Okay. You need to. But I'll tell you what, honestly, Matt Groh, there are some decisions I question with him, too, because don't forget, he's helping out with some of these moves, too. So it's not just Belichick. It's a whole collective effort. So the Patriots coaching staff and the Patriots front office are whiffing on these free agency signings and stuff like that. And honestly, don't be surprised if Mike Gesicki ends up getting traded at the deadline. He's only here on a one-year deal. So they could very well say bye-bye to him.
Yeah.
But then at that point, you have to extend under him. To have a tight end. And plus, they like Farrell Brown a lot. So they can say,
I love this guy.
I know. So there's your backup tight end.
So it wouldn't surprise me now that you mentioned that if Gesicki gets traded. But to go back to Bill's deal, I think the reason why I also got leaked out, I think Kraft just wants fans just, oh, damn it, the capital score. I think Kraft just wants fans to be like, Bill's staying, and you need to like that, basically. But I don't know. I just find it hilarious that like the Tom Currans and the Phil Perrys of the world are pissed off about it because they didn't report it first, and it was a national guy instead of a team guy. Yeah. Like, I don't know, Al, if you saw like what Curran said about the deal and how he'd be like dumbstruck if it extends past 2024, that's him basically being all pissed off that he didn't get a chance to break the news himself.
Yeah. Which, I mean, knowing Bill, I mean, would we really be surprised?
I mean, Bill probably was just like, yeah, I'll be here for another 5 years. Screw it. Why not? So.
And
it's a, whatever money he made, it's big boy money. It's big, big boy money too. So.
It is big.
He negotiated. Apparently, he did this himself, too. He didn't need his agent to do this.
Not surprising. Not surprising at all. All right. Any final Patriots thoughts before we kind of move in a different direction?
We're good.
No.
Good. All right. Let's see here. Powder, what do you want to talk about next? Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, - Maple Leafs. What do we want to talk about?
Let's talk about the hot star of the Bruins and the star about the Maple Leafs.
Wow, Powder, wow.
Okay, see, that was Powder that time. You can't even wait for that one.
Powder, I thought we were friends. What the hell happened? I mean, Al and I are not friends, so I expect it from him.
Yeah.
What the hell, Powder?
Yeah, and you suck. Screw you.
Oh,
but yeah. Not the first time. Anyways, so the Bruins are 5-0. They have swept their West Coast trip. And it's one of the best starts in franchise history. But I'm just going to talk about this for a minute. This is going to be a really quick conversation. Let's not jump to conclusions here, fans. Look at who they've played the first five games. They've played the Blackhawks. They've played the Predators. They played the Kings. They played the Ducks. And I forget the other team they played off the top of my head. But they're playing a bunch of teams that are at the lower end of the Western Conference or the Eastern Conference. And yeah, it's cool. Like, David Pastrnak's off to a hot start. Matty Poitras, or however you say his name, two goals in his really first, like, real NHL action against the Ducks.
So it's Blackhawks, Predators, Sharks, Kings, Ducks.
Oh, yeah.
Man, they haven't played anybody good yet.
I know. That's what I said. They have not played anybody good. So when they play these good teams, like the Hurricanes, like the Lightning, like the Maple Leafs, you know, these good teams, then we'll see what they can do. But right now, I'm not bought in on the Bruins yet. I'm happy for them. Good for them for the solid start. Let's see if they can do it against a good team. And by the way, they're playing the Blackhawks again. They're playing the Ducks. Aren't the Red Wings okay, Matty?
They're 5-1.
Okay, so the Red Wings are good. So then after the Ducks, you have a like a five-game stretch of the Red Wings, the Panthers, the Maple Leafs, Red Wings again, the Stars, and the Islanders.
Other than the Islanders, that's brutal.
Yeah, so take out the Islanders, the Stars, that's a five-game gauntlet. You can go 3-2 in that gauntlet or even 4-1, then I'll be impressed. So, but that's just my quick 2 cents on the Bruins. Powder, I don't know if you wanted to throw anything in.
No, just it's good to see them get hot early, but like you said, don't want to read too much into it because it's only five games into an 82-game season. Don't want to get too excited. We got excited last year, and we saw what happened, so.
All right, Matty, give us your one-minute Maple Leaf summary. Go ahead, bud.
All right, so the 3-2 to start the year. Let's see. What's his name? Austin Matthews, he's off to a hot start. He had a hat trick on opening night.
David Pastrnak's better. Go ahead.
No, he isn't. Anyways, currently, tonight is the NHL Frozen Frenzy, whatever the hell they are calling it, where starting at 6 o'clock, a puck drops. 15 minutes later, another puck drops. 15 minutes later, another puck drops. So it's insane what they're doing tonight, basically. First game happens to be the Leafs and Capitals. And I just said a few minutes ago, oh, Capitals scored. Great. Yeah, they took that goal away immediately because there was goalie interference like hell, basically. So we're back to a 0-0 game, which is great to see. As for what we've seen so far from our friendly neighbors up north, they got an opening night win against the Canadiens, took them to overtime, of course, because naturally the Leafs. I can make that joke. You can't, Al. Let's see. They followed up a 6-5 win with a 7-4 win with the Wild, and then they dropped back-to-back games to the Blackhawks and Panthers. But then just last Saturday, first time meeting with Tampa for the year, first time since that iconic playoff series last year, which the Leafs finally advanced to the second round, and they won 4-3 in overtime. So common theme this year with the Leafs so far, overtime. that's been it so far. Again, we're not even 10 games into the year. It's really hard to be like, oh, this team sucks or this team's good or whatever. We'll see how things go. But 3-2, obviously, not 5-0, but yeah, we're getting there. I'm not worried about it. It's freaking October. If they're struggling in April, then all right, then I'm going to be a little concerned. Or like March, April, then I'm gonna be like, all right, what's going on here?
So, Powder, I recorded that, and that took exactly 2 minutes and 16 seconds when we said it was a minute. That was a pretty stupid mistake, wasn't it?
It was.
So I think we agree, right?
Did we explain first before I do it?
Yes. So we have a new thing. So obviously you just heard Matty is a Maple Leafs fan. And obviously the Maple Leafs and Bruins are, how do I put this nicely, rivals, somewhat. The Bruins pretty much win every time. And when Matty makes a dumb mistake, he has to wear a Bruins hat for 5 minutes of the recording. So you can see it on video. So we got to see that B. There's that B. It looks good. Doesn't it look good?
I talked to my girlfriend today, too. So
you also have to say one nice thing about the Bruins.
All right. I didn't agree to that part.
Powder?
All right. One nice thing about the Bruins.
And it can't be a backhanded compliment.
Damn it. Here, can I say something different and then we can be the judge on it?
Sure, go ahead.
I think Tuukka Rask got too much hate from Bruins fans, and the Bruins fans that hated on Rask need to get over Tim Thomas.
That's very fair. I can give you that. That's a good, right, that's cool. A good take. That's a good
take. Thank you.
We'll take that. All right. So you got 4.5 minutes left on your little punishment. And this is every time you make a mistake too. So you better have that hat on all the time. Every time.
My girlfriend's celebrating right next to me right now.
Every time. Anyways, all right. So let's do this. So we talked about hockey. Let's talk about the Red Sox really quick. So the Red Sox, they're trying to do their search for their next GM. A lot of GMs and front office people are declining. Brandon Gomes declined an interview. Kim Ng declined an interview. They interviewed. I know.
That one hurt me.
Hurt us too. They interviewed Twins GM Thad Levine and then did bring him back for a second interview. A lot of sides are pointing toward Craig Breslow, former Red Sox relief pitcher and current assistant GM of the Cubs, could be the lead guy to take the role. Now, when I hear this, I'm like, okay, Craig Breslow is a smart guy. He's played in the league. He seems like he's a good GM. But why is it that people don't want to come to Boston to interview for the job? And I think it's very simple. There's no stability. And it seems like a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Because I don't know what their plan is this offseason. I hope they're willing to spend. But in the past couple of years, in the Heim Bloom era, it was stay under the luxury tax, be competitive, build up the farm. And that's impossible to do. So I don't know. Why are people not wanting to take this job? I want to hear from you guys real quick.
I think some of it is with Alex Cora that it's uncertain if he's going to stay the manager for a long period of time or if he's going to end up kind of doing what Brad Stevens did with the Celtics and move from the coach to the general manager position. And he did say he's not ready for it, but seemed like he was saying, I'm not ready for it yet. And I could see Alex Cora is a very smart baseball guy. He has that good mix of the front office type and the players type. So I could see some GMs maybe being like, well, is when he's ready, are the Red Sox just going to say, okay, see you later, and take Alex Cora and make him the GM? Like, I could see that being one of the reasons.
Right. Maddie?
I mean, my main reason why I think, like, people are like, I don't want to go to the Red Sox management. They don't want to deal with it. I think everyone knew the struggles Heim had to deal with and the fact that Heim probably had these ridiculous mandates that he had to follow by from management, whereas there are young GMs and then there are other GMs too who want to make a name for themselves in the game of baseball. They want to improve the team that they're on, and well, when you have an owner of a team that doesn't want to do that, it's hard to really do your job. I don't think it's too much Cora related. Maybe it is a little, but I really think it's management. That's for me. And then, I mean, because you can't really say it's the roster itself, because this is a decent roster that the Red Sox do have. I mean, you have Rafael Devers, who's, you know, one of the young talents of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You got decent pitching. It's tough. To me, it's management. They don't want to deal with the owner. They don't want to deal with ownership. They just don't want to deal with it.
Understandable. This ownership just drives me up a wall. They really do. They don't know what they're doing.
Just sell the team.
Sell the team. Let someone that come in that cares about it actually take over. And then we'll maybe have a chance to, you know, actually win again. That'd be nice. So again, whoever is the eventual POBO, whether it's Greg Breslow, whether it's Eddie Romero, whoever it is, got a mess to clean up.
Yes, you do. We got a terrible ownership to deal with.
So, get on. Just say.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick. So, congratulations to the Texas Rangers on winning the American League pennant over the Houston Astros in 7 games. As we're recording, the Phillies and Diamondbacks have not played Game 7 yet, but as you're hearing this, there's already a winner, so congratulations to insert team here. So real quick, we'll just give a couple predictions for if either team wins, what we think the World Series will be in how many games. So who's the winner in how many games, essentially? Is that what you were kind of getting at, Powder, earlier?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So I'll just go first. I'm going to stick with what I said to one of my coworkers earlier today. If the Rangers, if the Diamondbacks beat the Phillies, which I don't know if they will, but if they do, give me the Rangers in 5. I think the Rangers are hot right now. I think the Diamondbacks are a cool Cinderella story. But I think eventually time's going to run out on them. And I think they're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Phillies win, I got Phillies in 6. If they're going to want revenge from last year, I think they're going to want to show people that they can actually win in the Fall Classic now that the Astros aren't there to ruin their hopes and dreams. So the Diamondbacks win, it's Rangers in 5. If the Phillies win, it's Phillies in 6 for me. What say you guys?
Maddie, you want to go first?
I can go first. I'll be quick to the point. If the Diamondbacks win, I got Rangers in 4. I think the Rangers sweep. Rangers are they're hot. Like you said, Al. Garcia literally is the hottest hitter in the postseason right now. They look incredible. They've looked incredible this entire postseason. If the Phillies win, though, I think this goes 7. And I think the Phillies win game 7. I think it will be because he's been hot for the Phillies. It will be Kyle Schwarber hitting a game winning, series winning, championship winning home run, giving the Phillies their first title since the Ryan Howard days of, man, what was that?
Oh, wait,
2008. Yeah, since then. And then also, fun fact for tonight. Phillies are playing in their first ever Game 7 tonight.
Yep.
They've never played in a Game 7 before.
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
So, it's what is it? Citizens Bank Field? That's what the Phillies field is called?
Yep.
That place is going to be electric tonight. I saw that they're greasing the poles in downtown Philadelphia today. If the Phillies win tonight, Philly, again, is going to be on fire. Literally.
Okay. Howdy.
I'm going to agree with you, with Al. If the Diamondbacks win and go Rangers in 5, I just think the Rangers will hit too many home runs, will just outpower the Diamondbacks. But if the Phillies win, I'm going to go with Maddie, go Phillies in 7. It's going to be tough because Rangers do have home field advantage, but I just think the Phillies play with too much emotion. I think, like Al said, they're going to want revenge. They're going to be like the 14-15 Royals, where they lost in the World Series the previous year, come back and win it the next year. So I'm going to keep riding with my Phils and say Phils in 7 if they do win tonight.
Okay. All right. So there's your little MLB tidbit. Very nice job, gentlemen. So we'll talk Celtics to kind of wrap everything up. But before we wrap everything up, Powder, you got to tell us about A&B Kitchen and Bar, my man.
Oh, great.
I love talking about A&B Kitchen and Bar, a great sponsor that we talk about every week. A&B Kitchen and Bar is located in Boston, Massachusetts, with the Bruins off to a 5-0 start. The Celtics start up tomorrow night. I know we're going to talk about that in a second. If you're going to go to the Bruins or Celtics game during the season and you want a great bite to eat beforehand, head over to A&B Kitchen and Bar. It's right across the street from the TD Garden. You can't miss it. They're the best burgers, the best meatloaf, whatever kind of food you're looking for, they have great fish and chips, they have local beers, they have wine, they have any kind of drink you want. They can make great service, great people, and just such a great atmosphere to be in with all the Bruins and Celtics fans going crazy. And even if you don't have tickets, you want to be right in the atmosphere and watch the games on big TVs right there at A&B Kitchen Bar. Make sure you tell them the Legends Lingo Boys send you.
All right, shout out to our friends at A&B Kitchen and Bar and A&B Burgers.
Yep.
Great people, great times. Better atmosphere. All right, quick Celtics tidbit before we kind of wrap up for the evening. Excuse me. So the Celtics open up their season on Wednesday night against the New York Knicks. Obviously, a lot of expectations. The team looks different this year. Marcus Smart out, Robert Williams out, Malcolm Brogdon out, Drew Holiday in, Kristaps Porzingis in, O'Shea Brissett in. Trying to think if there was any other significant guys that really came in the offseason.
Fan favorite guy. What's his name? Not Brissett. What's his name?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. The big man. I forget his name. Not Gabriel, because he got
He got bounced.
Yeah, he got bounced. I know what you're talking about. I can't think of his name right this second. But regardless, I'm just going to ask you guys a couple quick questions. We're just going to go quick rapid fire Celtics talk. How many games out of the 82 game season do you have them winning? I have them at 58.
I'll do 56.
I go 62. I'm confident.
Okay. Excuse me. The newest Celtic that you're most intrigued about watching this year?
Last thing, you have to go Drew Holiday. Last thing, seeing him in the backcourt, seeing a different backcourt for the Celtics, seeing how he does, just seeing how he fits in Celtics uniform. I just think, like, obviously we love Marcus Smart, but I think having someone different back there is going to be a good thing for the Celtics.
Maddie?
I want to go with the rookie that they picked this year, Jared Walsh. Let's see what he can do. Let's see if they use him at all.
I think they'll use Jordan Walsh.
Yeah, you know, we haven't really heard much about him throughout even like training camp process and everything. Celtics, they think they, you know, he looks good. He's a big man that can shoot. Like to see that. So let's see what he can do.
All right, so I'm going to say the guy that hasn't been mentioned yet. I'm actually glad you mentioned him, Batty, because I was hoping you wouldn't take this guy away. Give me the unicorn. Give me Kristaps Porzingis. Let's see if he stays healthy, and let's see if he really adds that shot blocking, that kind of pick-and-roll game, and that rebounding element that the Celtics brought him in for. So give me good old Kristaps Porzingis. Okay, next question. Who is the Celtic that you want to see take a jump this year from where they're at till the end of the season? For me, it's Derek White. I want to see Derek White continue to excel into the player that he's become, because it looked like he got way better last season with a full season under his belt, and I think he can get to a level where he signs a big extension with the Celtics. Not as big as a Tatum or a Brown or even a Porzingis, but I think he's going to get a good extension should he have another big year, which I'm anticipating him having.
You want me to go, Pepper?
Yeah.
I got Sam Hauser. Obviously, he's going to be coming off the bench this year. Let's see if he can turn into a six-man material here. I think that's the next step for him. Turn into a six-man, someone who comes off the bench first every time. You can plug him right into whoever's on the floor, the starting roster on the floor, and he just vibes to them immediately and improves. It improves him on the floor, creates lanes, or not lanes, but gets open for, you know, like Brown or Tatum or, well, Holiday or anything like that. Let's go with Hauser. Hauser should aim for sixth man of the year contention.
Right, Powder?
Maybe not take a leap because he is good, but if Kristaps Porzingis can stay healthy, like what he can do with this as a Celtic, and see how, if he can go back to his all-star form when he is healthy.
Okay. Two more questions and we'll wrap up. Who's the most important Celtic this season? Just real quick, who's the most important in their success?
think that's easy. Tatum.
Okay. Maddie.
Tatum. saying.
See, you guys are both wrong. Here's why. It's Joe Mazzulla. Oh, Joe Mazzulla is the most important because now he has his coaching staff. Now he has his philosophy, his values, everything in there. So now you have no excuse. Brad Stevens went out and got you talent. He got you Kristaps Porzingis. He got you Jrue Holiday. He got you bench pieces. So now can you put it all together to raise Banner 18? If Joe Mazzulla doesn't do it this year, then I don't know if he is going to be able to come back the following year because now he's got everything he needs. This is his team. It's not Ime's that he just got handed it. It's his team.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying Joe Mazzulla is the most important.
Mm-hmm.
Last question. Do the Celtics win the title this year? Is this the year? And if not, where do they bow out?
I'm going to say they do it. I'm going to say they put together this year. I think they have a lot riding on them, and I think finally they put together.
I knew it.
Celtics Grizzlies finals book it game, in six games. They'll win the title in front of Marcus Smart's face.
The Boston Celtics are going to raise Banner 18 this year, folks. We saw the clip of it on the Student Union Sports page. Go check that out. Make sure to check that out. But this is their year. They have to do it this year. They have to. Milwaukee's looking older and slower. Denver, I don't think, is going to repeat the success that they had last year. They have a really great team. But I think this is the Celtics' year to do it. They have to do it this year. And on that note, that's pretty much it for this week. Anything else, guys, before we wrap up?
I got nothing.
And the Leafs are winning 1-0.
Well, as always, make sure to rate and subscribe to Legend Single Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and everywhere else where you can get your podcasts. Make sure to give us a follow at Lingo Legends on Twitter. Make sure to follow Student Union Sports at Student Union Sports on Twitter and all the social media platforms. We'll be back next week. These two morons are waving at each other. I don't know what they're doing, but...
I do this every week.
You do this every week. We'll be back next week, like we said. Maybe the Patriots will be on a two-game win streak. Maybe the Red Sox will have their president of baseball operations. Maybe the Celtics will still be undefeated. Maybe the Bruins will actually lose. Who knows? Until next time, that is Tom Powder Cadmus. That's Matty B waving his hands in the air like he just doesn't care. I'm your host, Alan Nahegan. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week for episode 245.
Peace.